2007. Information for the people here, we're not going to work House Bill 2547, that's the hunting and fishing license fees waivers. We're not going to work that today. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2093. And we have Mr. Keller.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 2093, it has a dash one amendment, which you have. It allows service members to request a stay of administrative proceedings under certain circumstances. And Brigadier General Mike Caldwell is here.
Thank you, General.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department, and House Bill 2093 was submitted at our request to the Governor's Office to realign or to get in line the Oregon statutory language with the Service Member Civil Relief Act. And the USERRA changed in 2003, which extended the ability to request a stay of proceedings on administrative actions when soldiers are called to federal active duty. However, in Oregon's situation, Oregon law didn't coincide with that, and so we are recommending that this dash one amendment with 2093 be adopted to align our state statutory language with not only the Service Member Civil Relief Act, but also to allow our service members who were, for instance, called during Katrina and Rita, when they were called out of the state and under the command of the governor under Title 32 status, they would not have been protected underneath the Service Member Civil Relief Act. And we have this ability for a judicial proceeding, but not for administrative courts. So if it's an administrative proceeding, then a member could be called by the governor out to do state duty under the provisions of the law, and then not be fairly represented in a proceeding that he or she had nothing to do with respect to the timing. So that's simply what this bill does. We had a work session with the Department of Justice, between our JAG folks and the Department of Justice, to get the language correct, and that's vis-a-vis the dash one. And we think the bill will do what we set out to do and help our people be able to better serve their state and also not punish them for doing it. Okay. Any questions? I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Any questions? So General, what this do, if there's some kind of an administrative hearing, then it would be set over. Where now, whoever's hearing that case, the administrative judge might say, I don't care if he's not here, we're going to go and proceed. And
correct. Absolutely.
And this just protects that.
That's just okay. Protects those people that are called up to do state duty.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions? Thank you, General. Close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 2093. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2093 be amended with dash one amendment.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 2193 be amended with the dash one amendments. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2093 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 2093 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? If not, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Buckley? Representative Cowan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schaffer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Scott?
Aye.
Chair Buckley?
Aye. And Representative Buckley is excused. Thank you. Motion passed. Representative Scott, would you carry that bill for us?
Sure.
Thank you. And now we'll go back to the top of the agenda, and we'll have House Bill, open a public hearing on House Bill 2884. Mr. McDonald. Back at the top, I'm sorry.
For the record, my name is Matt McDonald, and I represent the United Veterans of Oregon. We believe this bill is a win-win situation. Once you make the application, it's on file with the county clerk in every county in the state, depending on where you live. Every year we've had to make a new application. At least in Polk County, if you don't make it by a certain date, they send you out a reminder. What this will do is stop the duplication of work. It means that it'll stay on file as long as you live in the house that you're in. The county clerk won't have to send out the form for you to fill out each year. You won't have to take the time to fill out the form. It'll save approximately $40,000 in just mailing expenses for duplicating something that's already done.
Okay, are there any questions? Mr. Keller, is this the bill where we have like a couple others that are...
Yes, sir. On January 25th, we passed House Bill 2237, which would eliminate the annual filing requirement for the veteran homestead exemption if the exemption has been allowed in the previous year and the ownership, use, and other qualifying conditions remain the same. And on February 6th, we passed out House Bill 2023, which modified the active duty military service requirements needed to qualify and changed the filing deadline to August 1st following the end of the tax year for which the exemption is claimed. Under the deadline in House Bill 2884, the veteran would have 7 less months to file.
Were you aware of that, Mr. McDonald? It looks like the other bills we passed would cover this and give actually 7 months longer for a veteran to...
That's right. It gives you a longer period of time. But I think in the other bill, you still had to annually make a report into the county that you lived in. This bill eliminates the report year after year after year. I've lived in the house I'm in 16 years, and for 16 years I made out the same report that the county already has. What this bill does is it eliminates doing it each year.
If you don't mind, sir, we have John from the Department of Revenue here. I had discussed this with him, and particularly on House Bill 2237, I think we've already took care of that particular issue that you don't have to qualify.
We have. That's great.
Please, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. My name is John Phillips with the Oregon Department of Revenue. What Mr. Keller says is correct, and the goals that Mr. McDonald is seeking are both accomplished in the other bills, but the policies have already been passed out. But this brings them together into one bill, but actually does not go as far in one instance as one of the other bills, and goes further for the other bill. So what I'm saying is that 2237, House Bill 2237 does eliminate the annual filing. This bill just extends the filing date to a later date, creating a late filing period. The other bill would eliminate the filing period altogether and the filing requirement altogether. So once a veteran has filed, like Mr. McDonald has filed his first year, the following 15 years that he's filed would have, had that bill been in effect, would not have been required.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Is that sufficiently confusing?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try. See if I understand. We've already, out of this committee, but those two bills have not come to the House floor yet. The 2237 and 2023, is that correct?
Have
they been passed on the floor?
No,
okay, so they're in between. So we've passed one that would eliminate the filing out of this committee. We passed one that would extend the filing date to August, and now this bill would extend the filing date to December. Is there any way we can put this all together so that people can understand it when we take it to the floor?
Is this bill covered by the way with the past bills?
I just don't understand the process.
You have it. We've covered it.
We have.
And so.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the bills. They haven't shown up before. They may have gone to Revenue Committee first. I'm not sure, but they're in the process anyway, moving forward. But with those bills, we do not need this one. And
Excuse me. Okay. But this one has a different date. This has a December date instead of an August date,
which would shorten it by that many months.
Which would lengthen it.
Yeah. Except
Mr. Chair, if I might attempt, this bill actually, the one in front of you, deals with two programs. The other two bills that you've passed each deal with one of those two programs. So the first bill eliminated the annual filing for the program in Section 1 of this bill. Excuse me. Yes, Section 1 of the bill. And the other bill extends the deadline from April prior to the tax year to December 31st of the tax year.
That's
the bill that you already passed, 2023, House Bill 2023, goes beyond that December 31st date to the following year's August 1st. So it gives an additional 7 months.
The following year, okay.
Yeah. Could you come up and
Mr. Chair, I guess my goal is simply to put this together into one manageable package so that it can be understood. And I'm just quite sure how that process gets accomplished.
It appears that we've moved two bills forward that would take care of this one. From what I understand. Yes, Seth, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, I am Seth Hatmaker, Chief of Staff for State Representative John Lim, who represents House District 50, Gresham area. I'll just give you some background on the bill. There's a lovely lady in our district. She's actually our communications director for Gresham-Bartlett School District in our district, whose husband, during the interim, was serving in Iraq. And she was made aware of the property tax exemption under, I believe it was House Bill 2945 in 2005. But when she went to claim this exemption, because of the dates and the loopholes, she was not able to, we started getting word that many veterans were not, who were entitled to the exemption were not getting it. So we talked then to Multnomah County's Division of Assessment and Taxation. We worked with Debbie Bain, Steve Skinner, and Lynn Gaska, and they were very good people. And they proposed ideas for closing the loopholes. Number one was grandfathering in. Well, Representative Lim had sat on the Interim Committee for Veterans Affairs and Head Start, and they actually, it was kind of providential. We received... Athena contacted us with her case about a week before Representative Lim was due to that committee, and they were going to discuss ways to get veterans entitled under House Bill 2945 to get their tax exemption. And one of the other ideas that Multnomah County's tax office came up with was, what if we give them, like religious organizations or anybody who can claim a property tax exemption, why don't we give them late filing, opportunity to file late, which they were not able to under 2945, was our understanding. And so this is really why we introduced House Bill 2884, because it became evident that they were, the deployed vets were able to be grandfathered in through the interim committee's work or idea, but we still want to address, well, why can't they file late like religious organizations? So that's the background of the bill. I have a whole committee spelled out, but it just seems that if previous bills are addressing what we were after. Another interesting thing too of note is we were kind of looking to the deployment vet issue. As I read the bill and read ORS 307250, 307260, I was seeing language on disabled veterans. And that wasn't the original intent when we put in the measure request, but I know that our office wants to give as many veterans the deference they deserve. We'd even talked about amending out the late filing fee, that they could file late without the fee, just out of deference to those who serve. Another part of the bill that was wanted to bring attention to, some of the committee could look at, is Section 6. My reading of it says creates a property tax exemption to qualifying persons ordered to federal active duty or deployed under the authority of Emergency Management Assistance Compact on or after September 11, 2001. and property for which an exemption is claimed for tax years beginning on or after just July 1, 2001. My reading of this says that this bill will include veterans of war on terror, just my layperson's reading, and I think that gets closer to what we're after over the disabled vet. But after working with Jim Keller, who's just been excellent to work with as far as our office, and LC, it seemed like there, again, previous bills may be addressing this, but that there could still be work done for disabled veterans, if I'm kind of catching things right, but if I'm recollecting our discussion we had last Friday. So I hope that gives a little background on the intent of the legislation and kind of what Representative Lim's office would like to see for the veterans.
We appreciate Representative Lim's hard work on this issue. We look at these, we've got these things that we wanted to do in this one have been covered in the other two. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I'm going to close the public hearing, and we'll still have this if we find out that's not exactly accurate. We believe it is, and then we can go bring it back for our work session. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2884, and open a public hearing on House Bill 2938. Mr. Keller.
House Bill 2938 increases the amount of property tax exemption for disabled veterans and surviving spouses of war veterans to $25,000 of value of homestead or personal property.
Okay, and do we have any Kevin O'Reilly, Mr. McDonald, and Jim Willis? And this is Representative Boquist's bill, and he's excused today. Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly, and I'm here representing the members of the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America. Before I go back to my prepared text, I'd like to mention that I am 100% service-connected veteran, and I am eligible for this benefit. So I'm a little biased, if you will. All of our members have injuries or illnesses which have resulted in paralysis, and as such, all are 100% disabled. Unlike other veterans groups, not all have a disability associated with their service. We would like to express our support for House Bill 2938. We do, however, have a request or two. But first, I'd like to tell you a little about the other side of this story. Then I'd like to mention why and how this bill will benefit the disabled veteran and why we believe it should be passed with our recommendations. We all have, as our birthright, the liberties, freedoms, opportunities, and responsibilities granted under the Constitution. I believe the veteran has taken an extra step and earned those liberties, freedoms, the opportunities and responsibilities that the rest of us have been given. One of those responsibilities is to help support the communities we live in. I doubt there is a veteran in this room who would disagree with this. One of the ways we support our communities is through property taxes. Another reason has been in the papers of late and all the news. Many of our rural counties may be losing funds provided under the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. As you know, for Oregon, this is almost a little over $149 million. For our rural counties, this would be a significant loss in revenues. At the moment, it seems this loss may be staved off for another year or so, but maybe not. We'll find out. Compiled with this, the possibility of losing other funds, no matter how insignificant, would have an adverse effect on these counties. Of course, these counties have had 7 or so years to prepare for this. I assume this benefit has been offered to our veterans to assist them with the day-to-day costs associated with their disabilities. For myself, this currently runs about $100 or so a month, but I've had times where these costs have exceeded $1,000 a month. However, a benefit such as this one has many facets. Among them, it shows the state's appreciation for those who have served our nation. It helps a veteran who has recently become disabled stay in their home. It helps make a home a bit more affordable for our younger veterans. At this time, I'd like to introduce a young fellow who's been working for us, His name is Sean McCamey. Sean served in the United States Army with both Airborne and Special Forces units. The young fellow in the corner there. After several years at this, Sean thought he'd try something more fun than playing around in the woods, and he entered flight school. While training to be a helicopter pilot, Sean discovers his knees and lower back had been blown out from one too many bad jumps. Sean has a service-connected rating of 50%. He's a family man with four young children. He's currently enrolled in school, and soon, hopefully this summer, he'll be looking to purchase a home. He, or so I believe, is the sort of young veteran the property tax exemption was meant to help and should help. And again, such a benefit as this helps many of our disabled veterans with the costs associated with their disabilities. Many of our members were injured after their service, and we feel regardless of their income, they not only deserve this benefit, but it would help them in meeting the day-to-day costs associated with their disabilities. For this reason, we believe the income limits on non-service-connected veterans should be lifted or raised to a level more beneficial to our veterans. If you take a look at page one of the handout, this shows some income levels at different percentages of the federal poverty level. As you can see, at 185%, a veteran would probably not be owning much of a home. They'd be making all of $18,000 a year, a little over that. We believe that if an income limit needs to be in place, that at least a limit of 350% would be more reasonable. This would create a benefit for those who have served without restricting their ability to improve their life, and it would not penalize a veteran who has worked hard. As an example, one of our members, a non-service-connected veteran, is doing quite well for himself. He'll make between $75,000 and $80,000 this year. Last year, his out-of-pocket expenses directly related to his disability exceeded $18,000. Another example is a member of ours who makes $24,000 a year. He lives with his mother, who is on Social Security, and a brother, who is on SSDI. Together, by pooling their resources, they are able to afford a manufactured home. And, of course, we believe such a benefit as this would help him associated with those costs with his brother and with his mother. You know, and something, I was talking with another vet just the other day, another non-service-connected guy, Vietnam vet, came up back from Vietnam in a whole piece, and after he was back for a couple years, he had got his back broke. For the first time, he had some serious expenses directly related to his disability. He's a paraplegic. He had injured his shoulder. Just in the last couple of months, he's had over $7,000 of expenses out of his pocket. His insurance, his wife's insurance, wasn't covering those. And that's a hit to anybody. We would also suggest that a tax exemption of $50,000 or a percentage of the assessed value as more appropriate for our service-connected veterans. As I'm sure you are all aware, the cost of housing in Oregon has been outpacing the wages in Oregon. And I'm kind of helping to demonstrate this. The second through fifth pages are some of the property tax statements for my home. I built my home in 1997. It cost me about $165,000. And I don't remember what the original assessment was for, but as you can see, it's getting close to what I built it for. Today in Oregon, there's a market value of $300,000. This house is rather inexpensive. I've been looking at other houses, and mine is kind of on the lower end of newer homes. Also, my home isn't worth $300,000. I know the neighborhood, and I know the house. It's not worth $300,000, but that's between me and the market value people. Last year's assessment was for about $150,000. The property tax was $2,500. Currently, the tax exemption, if applied to this property, would be $18,000 or about 12%. This would be a tax relief of $300. An exemption of $25,000, the proposed, would be about a sixth of assessed value, or about a tax relief of $416. An exemption of $50,000, or about a third, would be of the assessed value, would be about $833. The last page of this handout has this calculation and several others. A few other properties we've been looking at. My wife has decided that it was time for us to move. And one of the houses she was having me look at was $359,000. The taxes were assessed at $2,900. Using this as our model, the current tax exemption would be for 5% or about $145. An exemption of $25,000 would be 6.9% or about $200 of tax relief. An exemption of $50,000 would be 13.9%, or about $403 of tax relief. For our elderly veterans who've been living in the same home for a long time, they would have a lower assessed value, and this benefit is nice for them. It's good. And they'll benefit well from this tax exemption. That same veteran, if they're looking to move closer to home or closer to health care, buying a new home will have this benefit reduced. In that sense, when a veteran starts to improve their standard of living, we're sort of punishing them. We're saying we're going to give you less relief. As the cost of housing increases, we're reducing this benefit for our younger veterans. We encourage you to look at options to make this benefit a useful and a sustainable one. And if you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Thank you.
This may be answered later, but just like the fishing license bill, this bill too. Look, there's no one up on this committee that wants to that doesn't want to do more for veterans. But you know, we can only go so far, and then we are cutting into services for everybody else. And I just want to get this on the public record because it's important to me and it's how I feel. This federal government has put us in this position, and that federal government is going to have to step up. At least we have good people coming back that are going to need a lot of services, and we're going to have to provide it, and we've had virtually no control over that situation at all. We can only give, there's only so much resources to go around, and where do you draw the line humanely and then fiscally too? And it's a hard one. These are hard decisions because every additional tax break or cut we make, burden we take off an injured veteran, which I want to do, then we're missing out on, we have to remove something over here. So my question is, what's the existing tax exemption cost us, and how much more would it be if we did this? And once again, look, an injured veteran, I'd give them a free house if I was king, because they've paid, they've done their duty to defend my ability to sit here and shoot my mouth off and say anything I want. And I respect that, and I honor that, and I appreciate that greatly. But it's just, how far can we go fiscally before we're cutting into something that is going to have a negative impact on the entire state? And we have to weigh that, and it weighs on my heart here, especially in light of the fact that this federal government's drug us into this. I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats voted for it. I don't even care. And they're not doing, in my opinion, enough to help us provide the services for good people that are out there defending America and doing carrying out the mission that this commander-in-chief has sent them to do. So there's a lot there, but I just thought I'd throw it out there for see what's the impact of this, please.
I can't answer. I don't know what the current, how much tax relief has been given to the veterans under the current system. I don't know. I don't know what that number is. I don't know how to find that number out. I do know that there is roughly 20,000 service-connected veterans, 40% or more disabled, in this state. With the various home costs and the different tax rates throughout the counties, I don't know how you would do it.
Mr. Chair, if I may clarify, I meant just the impact on this specific bill.
Right.
That's my question. It's not the whole broad thing.
Right. Well, that's
what he's saying.
So I don't know how to find those stuff. Okay. Revenue would have to, the counties can give that to you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McDonald.
My name is Matt McDonald, representing the United Veterans of Oregon. In the last session, we went from $15,000 to $18,000 in having a discount on a assessed value of our home. We're asking for $25,000, and there's a pretty good reason for it. I happen to live in West Salem, and the assessed value of my house last year went up $15,000, which is much more than what we're really asking for here. And $25,000 really doesn't take much of a bite out. And the way they're building homes, I don't know about the rest of the state, but in West Salem we have 2,000 new homes in the last 4 years. So I don't think it's going to, the amount of money that they're going to discount for veterans is going to affect the city of Salem one iota. They have the money, and if they can spend $1 million refurbishing a bridge, they certainly can raise this to $25,000 for Oregon veterans, especially the disabled.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Callan.
Thank you. I'm not necessarily aiming this particular question at anyone sitting here, but it is a question that I raised when I was originally presented with this, and we really do need to get an answer. It follows on Representative Schaffler's comments. Let's remember that when we're talking about property tax relief, we're talking about property taxes, and those are the funds that fund local government, cities, counties, special districts, schools. It's not just the city of Salem. Libraries, it's broader than that. It's an area where there are challenges right now and limitations on the amount of revenue that they can raise. So if we make a decision in this committee on a question like this, we're not talking about the impact on state government. We're talking about the impact on the spectrum of local government that receives their revenue from property tax. So I really need to hear perhaps from the Veterans Program or someone who can give us some idea of what the fiscal impact is. And it's not going to go back to our fiscal impact here in the state of Oregon. It's I heard you say 20,000 veterans with 40% or more disability. How many are taking advantage of the existing property tax exemption? What amount is that taking off the property tax rolls? And if this were increased, how much more would that impact? I think for me to make a responsible decision, I need some information about that.
We'll get to it. Well, Mr. Billet.
I agree. It affects everyone. However, it's at $18,000 right now, $18,300 and some odd, because it raises 6% a year. So you're talking about $6,300 approximately, the raise from what it is at the current time. The way we're building and the way we're producing here, the counties, the cities, and the local governments are really making a lot more money than they did a year ago. I know they have expenses. What we're asking for is those that are disabled that have paid the price for our freedoms get a little bit of a tax break, and $25,000 to me is very little. We're not getting $25,000 off on what we pay. We're getting $25,000 off on the assessed value of our home. And the assessed value, no matter where you live, the assessor goes up to 6%. He can go up every year. I got homes in my area that have been on the market and taken off the market, but it makes no difference to the assessor. My assessed value goes up, period. And mine went up $15,000 last year on my home.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Willis. I'm sorry.
And I don't want to be argumentative. I just think that we need to
get some
real figures, because the property tax assessment process is very complex, and new construction doesn't necessarily directly relate to increased property taxes because of the limitations we have out there. So none of these are clear-cut lines.
We're going to get some clear-cut lines prior to a vote. Thank you. Mr. Willis, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the statements of Representative Schaffler and Representative Callan are well taken. I viewed this bill when I first saw it as an accelerator in the benefit based on actual costs incurred by assessment. The suggestion that the impact of this bill be provided to the committee is simply good logic, and that information is available. And if there's a meeting of both the increased benefit to the veteran and a failure to inappropriately impact local government as a result of providing this benefit, then clearly this benefit, in my view, should be provided, and I think it's a good bill. And I understand the committee would not be in a position to move on this bill today without that other information. And I certainly would assist in obtaining that, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, to make sure that we're making a good decision here. I think we're going to be fine, but I appreciate the committee's concern, and especially that of Representative Cowan.
Yeah. Thank you, and I want to say once again, we appreciate all the effort you make to help get us any information we've needed, and we really do appreciate that. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2938. We will get back with the information, and once we get that, we'll go ahead and look. Thank you, and with no further business before the committee, we're adjourned. Thank you for coming.